This morning we will have our May crowning after the homily. We'll crown the Blessed Mother, but then at the end of Mass, we're going to do a May procession, which is when we'll take the Blessed Mother and just walk for a very short distance. Don't worry, you don't have to cancel your lunch plans, but a very short distance we'll walk outside with the Blessed Mother in procession to honor her this month. May is the month of Mary, and a procession, as we know, is a public display of faith. As Catholics, we are never ashamed of showing our love for Mary. Mary is not in competition with her son, right? She just points us to her son. So how it will work, practically speaking, is at the end of Mass, when the procession begins, as soon as the statue passes your pew, you can come out just like a communion time, two single lines, and just walk in, it's two by two, behind the statue. And we'll walk around, then we'll come right back in. It won't be long at all. And then we'll finish out Mass, okay? Again, this is a customary thing to honor our Blessed Mother in the month of May. We'll do this in order to do that for May. So, yesterday, with one of our servers, Reese, I ran in a half marathon. And it was the first time I've run in a half marathon. We survived. And I've run in a marathon before when I was in seminary. My best friend from seminary, Father Michael, who's now a priest in Peoria, Illinois, he convinced me to run the marathon with him. And I said at the time, sure, as long as you train with me, right, I'll do it. He said, yeah, of course. Well, it turns out, I've probably told you this before, but he got injured right before the marathon. So I ran it by myself. Anyway, Michael, like I said, Father Michael, he's now in Illinois. And unlike myself, Father Michael actually is an avid bike rider. In general, he's actually in much better shape than I am. And he does crazy things like triathlons and things like that. Well, when I was visiting him on one occasion during my first year of priesthood, he asked me if I wanted to go for a bike ride. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I would rather go for a run. But he wanted to, so I said sure. But I told him that he would have to be patient with me because this trip would be no Tour de France. Well, we began. Yet, like most people who are in shape, Father Michael had overestimated my biking skills. He took me out on the side of a major highway. Now, for anyone who's ever bike ridden on a highway, this is not fun at all, right? Because cars are swishing past you. I was very uncomfortable with this situation and would consequently slow down often. Now, again, like people who are in shape, Father Michael did not understand this. He wanted to go faster and kept on getting annoyed that I was not keeping up with him. He'd go ahead of me, but then, with great mercy, would swing back so I wouldn't be left behind. And he kept on telling me, kind of angrily, to switch gears to gain more ground and speed, whatever that meant. Well, this cycle repeated itself over and over again. In fact, I remember I was praying to the Blessed Mother to end this bike ride immediately. Finally, Father Michael realized he'd have to meet me where I was at. Not on the Tour de France, but on the Tour de Slow. He'd have to pedal next to me and stay at my pace, which he did. Now, in our readings this morning, St. Peter's role in the life of the church is centered upon. We see highlighted the primacy of him among the apostles and the primacy of love in following Christ. In the first reading, we see Peter's primacy in leading the early church through the experience of persecution and in boldly proclaiming Christ despite sustained and serious cultural opposition. Yet, in today's gospel, which chronologically takes place prior to the first reading, Peter still has much room to grow. Now, this passage, honestly, is one of my all-time favorite scenes from the scriptures. So bear with me as I tell you a little bit about it. In order to understand today's gospel properly, we have to remember that Peter had only just denied Christ 3 times on the night of the Last Supper. This scene now takes place after the resurrection, but the apostles are still struggling with the reality that Christ has risen from the dead. And this scene is so human. Peter, who was a fisherman before having encountered Christ, in order to not deal with the many thoughts and doubts going on in his head, decides to do what he knows best. Go fish. It'd be a mindless activity for him. The other apostles decide to accompany him. I mean, after all, he was their leader. Now, in a touching scene, St. John sees our Lord on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Peter, in his impetuousness and childlike excitement, jumps into the water and swims to the shore to meet our Lord. After they have breakfast with Christ, Peter alone is granted a private audience with him. Now, earlier in Christ's public ministry, our Lord had promised to Peter that he would be the head of the church and that he would be given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Yet it is at this point that that authority is actually bestowed upon Peter. In order to make up for his threefold denial, Christ now asks Peter 3 times for his love. Now, if you noticed, he does not call Peter Peter. He calls him his original name, Simon. Because whenever Peter is in trouble, our Lord refers to him as Simon. Keep that in mind. Now, much gets lost in our English translation. In the original Greek that St. John writes in, our Lord uses 2 different words for love. The first time, our Lord asks Peter, "Do you agape me?" Agape is the Greek word for self-sacrificial love, the kind of love that Christ showed them on the cross, the kind of love that's associated with God, divine love. Yet Peter, an imperfect man, can only respond to our Lord with the word phileo, brotherly love. Think of Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with brotherly love." Now, Christ asks him again, "Simon, son of John, do you love me self-sacrificially?" In other words, with your whole life. Again, Peter only responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with brotherly love." The third time, Christ meets Peter where he's at in his brokenness. "Simon, son of John, do you love me with brotherly love?" You see, Christ condescended to Peter's human weakness. Yet the primary requirement that he asks of him is his love. "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." The threefold repetition of this commission points to the shepherding role being given to Peter as the first pope. While all the apostles have a role as shepherd over part of the flock, it's Peter alone who is commissioned as shepherd of the whole flock, the church. In other words, Peter is commissioned to serve as shepherd of Christ's flock as the great shepherd, our Lord, is about to take his leave. However, though Christ condescends to Peter's weakness, he's not satisfied with it. Immediately afterward, he tells Peter that one day his love will move from brotherly and become self-sacrificial. "When you grow old," Christ says, "you will stretch out your hands and someone will lead you where you do not want to go. St. John then says that this statement was foreshadowing the death Peter would eventually die. So, what did Christ mean by this? Well, he was telling Peter that one day he'd be willing to stretch out his hands on a cross upside down and die self-sacrificially for Christ. Now, for the moment, Peter was only able to give himself to Christ half-heartedly, but eventually he'd be able to lay down his life for him, just as Christ had laid down his life for Peter's. His vocation as the first pope was to be one of learning to love Christ self-sacrificially, to love as Christ loves us. All right. Now, each of us here in this church has a vocation, right? Our vocation is our calling in life. And the primary vocations are marriage, priesthood, diaconate, consecrated life, and the single life. Within those vocations, however, are what I call the minor vocations, our careers. Yet, our careers, of course, pass away at different stages in our life, but our vocations do not. Right? Each of us, just like St. Peter, are called to love Christ self-sacrificially. However, all of us, like St. Peter, struggle to do that. So often, we, even as Catholics, can forget or be ignorant of what our vocations or states in life are about. For example, as I remind the engaged couples I work with, marriage is about getting each other to heaven. So often, we can forget that. It's about love, we say, which is true, but the highest love, right? A husband and wife together need to strive to bring their family to heaven. In other words, parents' roles are not primarily to help to get their children on the best sports team or an Ivy League school, but to help to get them into heaven. The same applies to the sacrament of holy orders. Those who are ordained are called to lay down their lives self-sacrificially for their sheep, doing the best they can to lead them to heaven. Now, those who remain single in this life are called to be a strong witness in all aspects of their life, others around them, of the love they have for Christ. Yet, in our brokenness, we don't really love those who are called to love as we ought. In other words, we don't love our family members, our flocks, our friends, as Christ loves, self-sacrificially. We oftentimes only love with a phileo love, brotherly love. For to love self-sacrificially means to lay down our lives as Christ did. In other words, to help lead those entrusted to us to heaven. How often do we do purposeful and intentional actions in order to lead our spouse, our children, our friends to Christ? How often do we evangelize about Christ to our family members? Do we invite others to join us to the sacraments? How often do we intentionally make sure that daily family prayer happens in our households? And that does not mean if whether the children want to, right? You have told you this story before. We had a rosary every night in my house. When I was in middle school, I did not want to pray a daily rosary. In fact, I'd pretend to fall asleep during it so that my mother would skip over me when it was my turn to lead the decade. You know what they'd do? They'd sit there until they stopped faking it. Our home is considered to be a church in and of itself, the domestic church, in which God is meant to be made present through our actions and prayers. Think about it just for a moment. Think about your life. Could you call your home right now a church? So often, we can only love Christ with a brotherly love and keep his love contained to the church building here on Sundays. So often, we, like Peter, end up denying Christ we need to be standing up for him and focus on ourselves. But our love should be self-sacrificial and extend to all aspects of our lives. As I mentioned at the beginning of this homily, today is the first Sunday in May. May is dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. After my homily, we're going to crown the statue in order to honor her, especially during this month, as our spiritual mother. Mary, as the greatest saint, is an example of someone whose love for our Lord was completely self-sacrificial. From the first moment of her yes to the archangel, through to being present at the foot of the cross, which Peter could not do. Our Lady strived to bring others to Christ. Her whole life pointed to her Son, and so should ours. Just as Father Michael condescended to my great biking skills, and just as Christ condescended to meet Peter where he was in his love, so too does Christ meet us where we are in our love for him. Yet, like Peter, Christ does not desire that we stay at our brotherly love for him and our families. He calls us on to a greater love, a self-sacrificial love, a love that desires the best for others, heaven. And so on this third Sunday in Easter, we must ask ourselves, what sort of ways, things, actions can we incorporate into our week that can help lead those entrusted to us closer to Christ? What things can we do to help love those entrusted to us self-sacrificially? Amen.